Pirates versus Tyrants. This is the Tom Wren Show, where we practice piracy on the enemies of freedom and liberty.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the show. I got a good one for you today, as opposed to normal. Normally, I try and put you to sleep, but today I'm going to try and keep you awake with what I have to say. I'm going to, you know, I'm thinking we'll delve deeply into the rules of civil procedure. No, I'm joking. That puts everyone to sleep. I want to start out the show with a listener comment. Okay, well, not really, but I did have a couple listeners that asked me a question, and it provided an opportunity for me to have this conversation, and it's a very important conversation. So for those of you that have known me or listened to me or followed me from early on, you know that I'm a God, family, country guy. You know I'm a dad and a husband. You know I value my family, and I value faith, and I value freedom. You also know that I'm, you know, when I got my lawyer hat on, very much, you know, I'm not into bluster. I'm not into anything. I am 100% focused on, you know, credible, measured sort of comments. Now, I want to remind you, though, that I'm practicing lawfare. Lawfare is legal, political, and PR, right? PR is where we do the education. That's how we get the public to educate, to know what's going on. I do this show to share information and also to entertain you, I hope. Whether I'm entertaining or not is up for debate, but whether I'm attempting to is not. So, yeah, with that in mind, there's a few things that you got to understand. Lawfare requires that education be entertaining enough that you listen, but provocative enough that it motivates. It requires that we communicate with certain strategies, and I'm going to go right into some of that, right? But the comment that I want to respond to is, you know, someone I think said, hey, you know, that ED Leader McConnell, because I have dubbed Mitch McConnell, instead of being minority leader, ED leader, because his response to everything is flaccid at best. So they said, well, you know, isn't that a little bit beneath you? And I want to address that from a lot of angles, right? So I really want to do this. And it's not because I feel bad or care. I kind of don't at all. It's more because I want you to understand that there's actually strategy to what I'm doing. There actually is a reason. And I'm going to share this. This is all super secret. And since nobody's really listening, I'm going to share it here. And the four of you that are listening can, you know, keep it to yourselves. Just don't tell anybody, right? Actually, we have a wonderful, wonderful base of people, a surprising number of people listen. All credit to Malcolm and the Outloud Network, because, you know, y'all think that you're going to get some credible, intelligent radio, and instead you got me, but you keep tuning in anyways. So am I better than to call Mitch McConnell ED Leader McConnell? In a word, no. And my wife wishes I was better. I catch all sorts of guff from her. As a Christian, I should probably be better. I do acknowledge frequently and regularly that I am a failed Christian. I'd never reach the standards that I strive to achieve. I want to be like Jesus. I'm not. I fail. It's not from a lack of caring. I do care. And, you know, maybe it would be easier for me to call him Mitch McConnell rather than ED Leader McConnell, but I like ED Leader McConnell, and I'm sticking with it. Now, there's more to it than that, though, right? So I will tell you that where I fail as a Christian, and I do, because I get mad and I say things that are grumpy or mean, for those things, I apologize to God. That's between God and I, and, you know, I'll deal with that. But I want to suggest to you that maybe there's more to this. So there was a guy out there, and I'm sure you've heard of him. He was a great mentor to Barack Obama. He was someone that is really looked up to by Rahm Emanuel and a bunch of other Democrats. And I would say the closest thing the left has to a hero, and that would be Saul Alinsky. You know, the guy who wrote Rules for Radicals and dedicated his book to Satan. Obama's, well, I guess that explains why Obama likes Yuval Noah Harari. He's, you know, if you're a, if you hate humanity and love Satan, you know, you're probably good with Obama, but that's another story. Well, one of the things that I have to do as an attorney who is practicing lawfare, not just law, is I have to look at what the enemies have done. Now, let me ask you this. When the people that approached me initially and honored me by giving them an opportunity to fight for freedom, to fight against the COVID fraud, to fight against all these different things, when they came to me to hire me, they said, what can we do, right? And they came to me thinking a lawsuit or whatever, but what they wanted was freedom. And so that was what I wanted as well. So we represented them on a lot of things, but one of the things that you got to understand is there's a vast difference between lawfare and law. Law is where we go to the court and we provide a credible case and we help the court apply the law to the facts of the case as is required under the law. Okay, that's what a lawyer does. But they didn't want me to just sue somebody to do that. They wanted to change things. Now, if I'm going to do that, that is one part in the courts. And there, you know, there's an aspect of that that's really based in filing lawsuits. But there's also the reality that if you want to change the law, you have to do that through the court of public opinion and political pressure. Those are not things that I do in a court. I can't go to a court and say, Your Honor, the law says this, but I don't like it, and I think you should change it. That isn't what a court does. Now, the left sometimes seems to push that in the courts. We got these buffoons out there who say, oh, text doesn't matter. It's a living, breathing document. Well, that's garbage, right? It's garbage, and no credible lawyer thinks that way. And if you do, as far as I'm concerned, you're not credible, whether you're a judge or a lawyer, and I don't care if anybody likes that or not. But there is a very important role for the courts in this fight. But I would pose to you that when we look at this as creating change and we implement lawfare, that you need to recognize that the courts are no more or less important than the PR and the politics. We have to educate the public and we have to put political pressure because changing the law requires the public to push the politicians. It's the only way it happens. We the people have always had a fundamental responsibility to preserving our own freedom and liberty. If we don't do that, we don't have it. So this is foundational, right? And when people came to me and said, fight this fight, they didn't come to me and say, just file a lawsuit and when that's over, good. They came to me and said, how'd I get free? What's happened to my country? It's gone. And so to me, I could have done what every other lawyer in the country did, which means you wouldn't have heard anything of me, or I could have did something different. And I chose to do something different because I believe doing the same thing as everybody else is almost always the wrong decision. And it certainly isn't going to result in a different result than what everybody else has. So I started a lawfare campaign. That lawfare campaign is why I'm here. That's why I do what I do. I'm pushing for change. I'm pushing for freedom. I'm pushing for integrity in our elections, in our reporting of our government data, in all these different things. I'm pushing for change. I'm fighting lawfare. So when I go to the courts, I follow the rules of ethics. I do what I'm supposed to do as a lawyer. I'm not boisterous. I'm not anything. I'm a lawyer. That's what you do. But I supplement what I do in the courts, and it's separate. But it's no less important if we're going to facilitate change by, you know, pushing these political and PR ideas. So why did I bring up Saul Alinsky, Obama's hero who loves Satan? So Alinsky's really an important character because if you're going to practice lawfare, you have to understand that part of the reason, part of the inspiration for lawfare is the fact that that's what the left does. Okay, have you seen Soros just file a lawsuit and that's it? No. Soros tries to manipulate public opinion through the press, and Soros tries to buy off politicians any way he can. The World Economic Forum, same thing. All of the people who are fighting against freedom use all of these three tactics. So when I looked at what the left had done to destroy our country over the last 50 to 100 years, I said, okay, we have to understand what they do, and we have to turn their tactics on their head. Now, the deal is that we do have limitations, because I am a God, family, country guy, so I won't do anything unethical, which is different from the left. The left lies right and left, and they say things that just aren't true. I won't do that. But I don't have to, because luckily I'm on the side of truth, and if I am honest and do things the right way, that's going to win inherently. It's much harder to convince people of a lie than the truth. So with all that, what I'd suggest is you got to understand, how does this tie into Saul Alinsky and McConnell being the flaccid responder he is and thus getting the ED label? Well, I had to study, when I was studying the tactics of the enemies, I studied everything. And I continue to this day. I study everything. I am a voracious reader. I spend more time studying and thinking than any five people should ever. I swear to God, at one point, I think I was cool, but now I am the epitome of nerd. And I'm quite excited about it. I like what I do. I've read Alinsky's book that was dedicated to Satan. And there's a lot in there that I cannot or would not implement in any way, shape, or form because it's wrong. But there are things in there that we can look at and turn around. So we've done that. We've done that. Now, within the Alinsky book, he's got a list of rules for radicals, right? And those rules are, I think, probably one of the most important aspects of the book. Now, Alinsky was and is no doubt in my mind an evil piece of crap. Now, I can't judge his soul, and I won't because I don't have that capacity, but I can certainly judge his actions, and it's not hard to see that he has at the front of the book a dedication to Satan. So with that, we've got to be careful when we try and look at or adapt what he does to make sure that we do it in an ethical way. But we also can't carry a knife to a gunfight and expect to not get shot. It just doesn't work out well. So we've got to recognize what they do and then either counter it or deal with it. Or if we can do it ethically, adopt it where it makes sense. That is precisely what I did. Now, Rule 5 in his rules is this. Quote, ridicule is man's most potent weapon. There is no defense. It's irrational. It's infuriating. It also works as a key pressure point to force the enemy into concessions. Pretty crude, rude, and mean, huh? They want to create anger and fear. Okay, so I don't agree with creating anger and fear, but I do agree with the implementation of ridicule. Why do I think that? Well, let's look at what this means, right? When I call ED leader McConnell, ED leader McConnell, that's gonna elicit a reaction. But the reaction from him, while important, is less relevant than what it does to you. When I'm talking to you, when you, my friends, when you guys are listening to this, the one thing that I hear over and over, I was just at the Reawaken Tour last weekend. It was great. There were thousands of people. What an awesome group of people. God was with us. It was spectacular. To this day, 3 years into this, what can I do? I swear that question will haunt my dreams. I'm just a regular guy. What can I do? Friends, you can't get more regular than me. I mean, I'm just some random dude. I'm a nobody, right? I'm not special. When you say that, you're empowering your enemy. You say it like, I don't know what I can do. I'm not as big or as strong or as powerful as them. That's garbage. These are just people. George Soros, Mitch McConnell, all these garbage dumpster fire people, they're no different than you. They do the same things. They put their shoes on the same way. They do this, you know, it's just, they're just people. They think they're special, but they're not. In fact, I would say that I've met a lot of ditch diggers and people who take jobs that no one else would want that I have far more respect for than I ever would these super people, right? I'm happier talking to the guy at the bar who's, you know, drinking his PBR than I am talking to those people. Those people make me sick. So When you say, what can I do, as though these people are somehow above or beyond you, what you're doing is empowering them and disempowering yourself. When I say to you, Mitch McConnell is ED Leader McConnell, guess what? I have no fear of Mitch McConnell. I have no fear of Klaus Schwab. I have no fear of anybody but God himself. And I don't care whether they like it or not. So what I'm doing is I'm trying to set an example. Not an example where you need to make fun of people. That's up to you whether you want to do that. I'm trying to demonstrate that there is no fear here. They're just regular people. And I'm trying to knock them down to our level. Because guess what? They are. In fact, I'd say they're beneath the good blue-collared working men and women of this country. Far beneath. The working people of this country, we the people, people who have suffered and fought for their families and for their freedom and for whatever it is that they've gotten for the American dream, that is what makes up this country. ED Leader McConnell, who's selling our country down the toilet for his wife's Chi-Com business ventures and all these other scumbags, they're not. They're beneath you. And I'm not going to give them the respect that they think they deserve, because they don't deserve it. You earn my respect. You don't get it. Now, I got a lot more on this, but for right now, I want to tell you to buy some Kofix. I like Kofix. I've been on, you know, when I signed up on this network, they said, you know, hey, we got some products. We'd love to have you promote them. Here's a couple ideas, right? And one of them that they had was this Kofix. I'm like, what's this? And so I'm looking, and I have to try these things out before I'm going to promote them, right? So I try it out, and it just makes sense, right? I wash my hands when they're dirty and gunky and germy. Well, of course I'm going to, I mean, if I get germs in my sinus, wash it out. Makes sense. I mean, this just makes sense to me, right? I know common sense is been deemed racist at this point, but I still actually make use of it. And so buy some Kofix. Use the America Out Loud code at the checkout so that you get a big discount and you support our network. And click on the banner ad to get there, but use that Out Loud code. We'll be right back.
All right, you've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the povidone iodine-based nasal spray Kofix RX. They talk about it because it's a product that actually works in combating colds, flus, and coronaviruses. Kofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. It's simple. By attacking viruses where they incubate, you make it easier for your body to heal. Check out the Kofix RX banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day, yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
AmericaOutloud.com. If you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought, working hard to earn your trust for 7 incredible years and counting. America Out Loud Talk Radio, the liberty and justice for all.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. And we are talking about why it is that I think ED Leader McConnell needs to be ED Leader McConnell. And we'd gone through a bunch of different things about lawfare versus law. And I've moved into Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals and ridicule being the most potent weapon, according to him. And, you know, again, we can't take a knife to a gunfight. You can't fight boxing rules in a street fight, or you just lose every time. Part of the reason I think that Donald Trump resonated with so many people on such a profound level was that the Donald was a counterpuncher. The Donald fought back. People like warriors. They like courage. They like BDE, which is the opposite of ED Leader McConnell. And they want, when you ask someone to represent you, I want them to represent me. I don't, you know, listen, I don't have to agree with everything you're doing. I want you to stand for something. I don't want you to sell out to the highest bidder in every single instance. I want you to declare what you stand for when you're running for office, and then I want you to stand by it. Unless you can explain publicly why you're changing your opinion in concise and effective terms that don't include, I got a big check. Okay? So that is a crucial, crucial thing to understand. Well, when we look at the application of these rules for radicals, you know, we see that this is something that the left's been doing. Nothing about what the left does is devoid of counterattacks. I mean, everything is very aggressive, very attack-based, and you know, just nonsensical most of the time. But it's something that is really, really crucial. I mean, you got to understand, when you have a war for the ideas and hearts and minds of a country, it is a war for it. And, you know, there was this really neat territory back in the 1700s that decided to write this incredible document that was later known as the Declaration of Independence. And that document laid out, you know, that they, that this group of ragtag pilgrims on the frontier thought they should be free people, and laid it out in no uncertain terms to the most powerful crew in the planet, the British Empire. When we fought that war, when the American revolutionaries stood against the most powerful empire on the planet, one of the things that was interesting, and this is, you know, I think that the historically, the extent to which this is true is kind of hard to know for sure, but we used tactics that the Brits said was cheating. You know, they would all line up in their fancy little outfits and stand there and shoot at you. They're very good at it. I mean, they were very good at it. They crushed everybody that did that. And so a number of our patriots in more than one fight said, okay, this is stupid. Why the hell would I do that? And so they, you know, did other things and fought the fight differently. And the Brits cried foul, oh, you're cheating. So, cheating? It's a damn war. Am I going to stand here and absorb bullets? Same sort of thing here. Listen. The other side lies, they cheat, they steal, they do all these things, and we can't do some of those because ethically we can't. I can't lie, okay? I can't. That's not going to work out. I won't cheat. I won't steal. I won't do things like that. What I can do is make fun of my enemy. That's one I can adopt, right? I can ridicule people who are corrupt, who are selling out, who are doing things that are illicit or unlawful or horrible. I can make it well known. And here's the other thing. Rule number 6 in Rules for Radicals. A good tactic is one your people enjoy. And I'm quoting, they'll keep doing it without urging and come back to do more. They're doing their thing. And we'll even suggest better ones. Radical activists in this sense are no different from any other human being. We all avoid unfun activities. We all revel and enjoy the ones that work and bring results. Well, you know, I've said a number of times, and I'm sharing a lot of, you know, strategy and insight here. I want you to understand this. I don't care if anybody knows. I'm going to do it anyways. I don't care if they like it. Try and stop me. I'm dying on this hill. I'm standing for freedom. I don't care what the cost is. So I don't mind sharing this because I want you, my friends, my fellow patriots, my fellow we the people to understand there is strategy here. And I'm trying to empower you to do what I do. That's what I do on this show is I try and empower people to know what's going on and to give them strategy so that they can fight. God's given me an opportunity to fight this, and he's given me some insight here and there. And so far, so good. It's worked pretty well. For a nobody from a little town, we've done pretty well. I'm pretty proud of what we've done. All glory to God, by the way. But I want you to understand what we're doing. You know, when you're being attacked by leftists and by buffoons, nobody wants to just stand there and take it. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand, turn the other cheek, okay? But let me square this. Let me square this up. There's a difference between turning the other cheek and standing aside while injustice is committed and wrong is committed. If you're sinning against me, I can turn the other cheek. If you're sinning against innocence, I need to stand and provide justice. I need to support them. I need to back them. For the left is united in its attempt to destroy freedom. Should I stand aside? Would it be just? Would I be proper to stand aside and allow that to occur? How about when babies and innocents are given vaccines that kill them? Should I stand aside? Is that turning the other cheek or is that cowardice? I don't think that's turning the other cheek. And I'm not doing this out of anger. I'm doing this out of a thirst for justice. So don't think that just because you're fighting, you're somehow breaking the good book. Jesus did not ask for us to stand aside while unjust actions occur. Now, he had very specific ways of fighting, and I don't always meet those standards. But the reality is that war is ugly, and I don't think that Jesus wanted war. I think he was quite clear about that. I don't think he wanted us to be in these situations. But if you're being attacked, what should we do? Say, okay, well, you go ahead and kill my neighbor. Do unto others. If you're killing my son or daughter, I want someone to stand with me. So, you know, I'm not of the opinion that we just blindly allow unjust activities to continue to occur and do nothing about it. So I don't. I fight back, and I'm telling you how. So I get joy. I do. And I don't know if this is right or wrong, but I do get joy out of standing up for people who can't stand up for themselves. You know, I always have. I'm a, if you know me physically, personally, I'm a big dude, right? I'm a big guy. I'm 6'4". I'm about 235. You know, I go to the gym a bit. I do these sorts of things because, you know, I work out, even though I guess, by the way, working out's racist now, in case you weren't aware. More racism for me, I guess. But I like to, you know, I'm protective. It's very much something that's built into who I am. I like to protect people. And I get joy out of fighting for people who can't stand up for themselves. I do. So it's a good tactic to allow other people to get that same joy and to teach them how to do it, right? A good tactic is one people enjoy. So if you find ED leader McConnell funny, well, then you're going to enjoy spreading it around and tweaking the left, right? I don't know. You know, I wish I was as good at this as Rush was. Rush was great at tweaking the left. You know, I've talked a lot about Rush Limbaugh, God rest his soul. But I don't think there's ever been a more talented guy on the planet at tweaking the left. And I aspire to be half as good as him someday. But tweaking the left makes me laugh. Tweaking these communist nobodies and knocking them down to size so that people realize that they're just the same piece of garbage. When I call Klaus Schwab the human genitalia, first of all, it's because he does look like one. And second of all, because why do I need to be afraid of Klaus Schwab? I'm not afraid of him. I like to kick him in the groin. These people are garbage. So it goes back to, you know, what can I do? Well, what you can do is just tell people these people are garbage. Anthony Fauci, you're an idiot. I'm not wearing a mask. Why? Because you're an idiot. And I don't even need to explain it. You're just an idiot. You wear a mask. You know, this is how these tactics work, and they work well. And it may be distasteful for some of you. And I'm sure, listen, let's be real clear here. I know I'm not a perfect Christian. God made me to fight. That's my job. I'm a fighter. I am through and through. If you know me on a personal level, you know that that's what I do. Fighting is a nasty, ugly thing at times, and I don't relish it. I don't relish the things that are less than what God wants me to be. But I will win because I am not going to stand aside and allow this injustice. I will win or I will die on the hill. I don't care which. What I will not do is stand aside and allow these unjust activities to occur. Injustice cannot be allowed. It has to be fought. It has to be, and they're trying to take your freedom. So yeah, I'm going to call Klaus Schwab the human genitalia. He looks like it. I'm sticking with George Soros being the wrinkled genitalia. I like that one too. Yeah, I mean, calling Kamala Harris, you know, calling her callous knee hair, Kamala is a bit of a, I don't know if I'm going to stick with that one. We've been looking at a few different ones for her, you know, half-baked Harris because she looks like she's stoned all the time, which good for her. But I, you know, she's the vice president. I kind of wish she would not do that, you know, but these are things that I'm going to do because I want you, when you hear that, to hear I'm nobody. And I'm not afraid to call them that. I'm not afraid to hop right on a radio station and say, here's what I think. Because they're not. They're nothing. They're less than the people who are listening to this show. I assure you, if you're listening to this show, I probably almost certainly have more respect for you than I do for Klaus Schwab, the human genitalia. This, I can't stress this topic enough to you folks, and there's more, right? I mean, there's a lot more, you know, and I use a lot of these. Rule number 4, make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. You know, that one's a great one. As an attorney, I use the heck out of that. I use that in the courts. I use that when I argue. I use that one a ton, you know, because the left sets all these standards that are impossible. They can't, you know, and then they end up with their little different groups that are fighting with each other. You know, these are some of these tactics are critical to understand so that we can use them, you know, and just continue to drive them home. We've got to turn again, as they said, we've got to use their tactics against them. And make them accountable to it. Now, I want to pull in one last rule before I leave the book dedicated to Satan. Yeah, that, you know, I mean, and by the way, don't forget, Alinsky was a mentor to Obama. Rule number 1, power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Quote, power is derived from 2 main sources, money and people. Have-nots must build power from flesh and blood. These are 2 things which there is a plentiful supply. Government and corporations always have a difficult time appealing to people and usually do so almost exclusively with economic arguments. Okay, so this is the last one. Power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. The foundation, and there's 2 aspects to this. First, you have to understand that this is Alinsky admitting that everything they are is a lie. It's a lie. If you think that Klaus Schwab is special or big or powerful, then you're falling for the lie. He is an 80-some-year-old turd that looks like a penis. That's it. And yes, I'm ridiculing him. But everybody thinks he's big and powerful because he's the head of the World Economic. He's only got as much power as we give him. Eleanor Roosevelt said, and I'm paraphrasing the quote, but no one can be made to feel inferior without their own consent. It's one of the greatest quotes. I love that quote because the reality is people only have power over you if you give it to them. Klaus Schwab is a penis. I don't like him. I don't like what he stands for. I don't like what he's doing. I suggest you make fun of him too. I have the power to do that. The difference is between Klaus Schwab and I is I'm not lying about it. I have plenty of power to sit here and make fun of him because he has no power over me because I refuse to give it to him. I suggest that you do the same. You, my brothers and sisters who are listening to this and are inspired to fight by freedom or fight for freedom, I want to recommend to you that you quit asking me what you can do and do it. I don't care what it is. I don't mind you asking. I don't. You know, if you're looking for ideas and brainstorming, that's fine. But make sure you're doing something while you're asking. You have the power to fight. These people are not special. They're not magical. They're just scum-sucking pieces of garbage. They're less than you. And as soon as you realize that and take back your power, you're free. Tyranny is an illusion. And it's an illusion brought forth by people who don't have power but want to pretend they do. Power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. These people are your enemy. They're your avowed enemy. They've told you they're the enemy of freedom. They're the enemy of God. They're the enemy of democracy or the Republic of America. So if you want your freedom, take it back from them. Feel free to ridicule them because it's kind of fun. And if you have fun in the fight, you'll enjoy doing it and you'll keep at it. Isn't it amazing what we learn from even evil sources when we turn them and use them for good? God is great that he would give us the ability to do that. I need your help fighting this fight. I'm going to continue fighting it. I have fun fighting it. I like punching these guys in the face and making fun of them and doing all this stuff. And maybe I should be better, but I'm not. I'm just, you're going to have to live with that. Support me at TomRens.com. We're very, very excited. We've kind of relaunched it. And the website is really pretty. People that did this work, I mean, it's just amazing work. I've got my dear friend, Dr. Eric Naputi. He's got his Inner Circle membership there. We've got My Pillow, My Mattress. You know, you get use promo code RENS. Beverly Hills Precious Metals. You can get your gold and your silver. You just tell them that Ren sent you, and you need this right now. bh-pm.com. Go there. We need to do this because the economy's about to die. And Nucleogenics, personalized health and information. Got my Substack there. I need your help there. My Give, Send, Go. You got my social media. Please help me fight for you. Support my sponsors. Support what I'm doing. God bless you. We'll be right back.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
For 40 years, alarmists have been warning of a climate catastrophe, yet none of their dire predictions have come true. Temperatures have not soared. Sea level rise has not been unusual. And extreme weather events have not increased in either frequency or intensity. In short, there is no climate emergency. For 15 years, the International Climate Science Coalition has led the call for climate realism and a Made in America climate plan, a plan based on real science that responds to the real world needs of Americans, supports economic growth, and strengthens our essential infrastructure. A plan that protects the environment and ensures that Americans can enjoy the blessings of clean air, clean land, and clean water for generations to come. It's time to put ideology and pseudoscience aside. It's time for a sensible climate plan. For more information or to donate, visit our website, icsc-climate.com.
Oh, Okay, welcome back. Welcome back. You know what? So we've been talking about, you know, these mechanisms by which we fight and how to win the fight against these bad guys. And in light of that, I'm going to move into some really important news. And it is featuring, and in honor of the previous segments of the show, I am proud to say it features the wrinkled genitalia, the shriveled up wrinkled genitalia, George Soros. Because if Klaus Schwab is the human genitalia, George Soros could only be the wrinkled genitalia. And yes, this is me enjoying making fun of the wrinkled genitalia, shriveled up, wrinkled, and sad genitalia, George Soros. So let's talk about George Soros, right? George Soros is truly the embodiment of human excrement. If human excrement could ever sprout legs and walk, it would be George Soros. That's the nicest thing I can say about this guy, who has done more to destroy freedom around this world than any other guy I could possibly list. He's just a true activist in the shadow of, you know, some of these previous Nazi monster anti-freedom scumbags. So yes, George Soros is hot garbage. And this new report by the New York Post talks about how George Soros has bought and paid for most of the media. And they in here, they mention that, you know, the narrative which occurs where, you know, anybody that makes fun of George Soros gets called anti-Semitic. Brothers and sisters in the media, bring it. You call me whatever you want. I'll send you the tape of me testifying at the rabbinical court to try and save the Jewish people from these death jabs that people like George Soros has been using to poison. It's not about anti-Semitism. It's not about your race or your religion. What it's about is George Soros is a piece of garbage who has manipulated and bought the media, amongst other things, and spent millions and millions of dollars, if not billions, fighting against freedom in this country. Okay. Now, you won't hear much about that. And the reason you won't hear much about that is I can't believe that the New York Post published this. I'm thrilled that they did. But, you know, there is a list within this article of various media figures and their ties to George Soros. Well, that's pretty spectacular, to be honest. Let's talk first. Shockingly, I know that this will be amazing to you all, but CNN host Christina Amanpour, or Christiane Amanpour, I don't know, whatever her name is, Amanpour. I don't watch CNN. It's just, you know, I've got X number of IQ points. Every time that gets turned on, I lose another one, and I got to keep a few of them, right? It's like Hochul's gas stove, you know, which apparently has destroyed her IQ. Thanks, AOC, for the explanation. But Christiane Amanpour, whatever she is, she is sitting on the board for the Center of Public Integrity. And that is a journalist group funded by Soros, right? Right? I mean, CNN? I know, it's shocking. NBC, we got Lester Holt. We've got Washington Post, Sally Busby, AP, Julie Pace, Reuters, Alessandra Galloni. They all sit on the board for the Committee to Protect Journalists, another Soros-funded organization. Shocking. Some of these people are scary. I don't think I've ever seen some of these pictures. Ridicule the enemies, right? 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 And now you're understanding. There's actually logic here, right? These people aren't big and special. They're less than you. And you should know that. And I say that as a guy who doesn't think he's more than anybody, but I'll tell you what, I don't murder people. I don't sell my soul to these vaccine companies. I don't do these sorts of things. If you're the kind of person that doesn't have principles or integrity like that, I just, you know, yes, I'm going to make fun of you. CBS's Margaret Brennan and CNN's Fareed Zakaria. They serve on the Council of Foreign Relations, which is backed by Soros. NBC's Cesar Conde, Aspen Institute, Soros funded. And I believe that they were tied in with that suppressing the Hunter Biden laptop. NPR, CEO of NPR, by the way, National Public Radio, right? I mean, those guys, it's public, so they, you know, but they're tied through direct giving to fund to Soros. I mean, he gives them a lot of money. And I think the biggest one is the editor-in-chief of PolitiFact. No, a fact checker. Are you kidding me? That's shocking, right? I mean, we would have thought the fact checkers were independent. They're not, by the way. The entire fact check industry is controlled. They've been misbranded. They've misbranded themselves as fact checkers when, in fact, all they are is propaganda pieces. That's it. These people are garbage. They're liars and they're sellouts, and they sold out to the wrinkled human genitalia. I mean, it's sad. How much for your soul? Asked George Soros, and $1.50 is the answer for most of these people. This is a critical thing. Now, this ties in with the previous conversation about the use of ridicule and other things to fight back. Why? Well, what do they do? What does the other side do, right? The other side perpetually tells us that we're evil, we're awful, we're this, we're that. They call names, oh, you're an extremist or a Christian nationalist or all these things, as though, and they say with a sneer to try and ridicule us. You need to know where it's coming from, and you need to understand the tactics that they're implementing. They're trying to ridicule you. They're trying to bring you down. They're trying to do these things. They want you afraid to speak out. Because if you're afraid to speak out, it appears that they've got the monopoly. It's not the power that they have. It's the power the enemy thinks you have, right? It's a critical, critical thing, and you've got to understand these strategies so you can see how they're applied. But once you start seeing it, you won't be able to unsee it. So, yeah, that's that. I mean, George Soros, hot garbage, you should know, and that's that. Okay, moving on. The BDE queen herself, Carrie Lake. God bless her. I pray for her and her campaign and her fight. And, you know, a nice story on 100%fedup.com talking about the fraud in the Arizona elections. It's worth talking about more. I don't think we can talk too much about the fraud in the Arizona elections. The fraud is mind-blowing. And as far as I'm concerned, the courts have destroyed their own credibility. I'm eager to see what happens as the case moves forward. But the ruling at the trial court was an egregiously bad miscarriage of justice. It was garbage. Absolute tripe. This case was decided on based on a precedent set in the early 1900s. Which was overruled by statute after the 2020 election. After the 2020 election, the Arizona State Legislature and governor passed a law reforming how these cases were to be heard, and it quite clearly overturned that case by statute. Now, in lawyer speak, you know, if we take that and translate it to English, what that means is, you know, once you pass a law, common law doesn't apply anymore. Right? Common law is the interpretation of ambiguities in the law put forth by the courts. So when the legislature passes a law and it's kind of hard to understand, there's some vague spots in it, the courts will rule on it and they'll tell you what they think that's supposed to mean. And that becomes what's called common law. And it stands until such time as the legislature passes something else. Well, this case that was common law from the early 1900s on, was overruled because the legislature passed a statute and said, this is what the law is. This court ignored what the legislature said and instead tried to rely on the statute and did so erroneously anyways, because this precedent didn't actually say what they said. There were a number of errors in this case, but the ruling was so bad that one of two things must be true. Either the judge has brain damage, or there was an intent to get to an outcome rather than to get to justice. The courts cannot, justice has to be blind. The courts have to be credible. There has to be recourse for the people, or our country fails, risks collapsing. The courts are the recourse for the people to be heard when the law is not being properly applied. It was not properly applied, but instead of actually hearing the people's case and moving forward with the intent to get to justice, this court appeared to be going for an outcome. Were they fighting for an outcome, or were they fighting for justice? It seems pretty clear if you read it. To me, it's my opinion that, and I've read a few cases, maybe just a couple. To me, this does not, it's not well justified. It's not well explained. There's no logic. It's overturned by statute. They conflate rules of law. They apply certain rules that don't apply in one area, even though they should be applying other rules. There's just a lot of errors, and it's mind-blowing. Now, we've just seen, I mean, in this report, they talk about the fact that 250,000 votes, okay, think about that. Kerry Lake's margin of victory was less than 20,000, or margin of defeat, alleged margin of defeat. It's less than 20,000 votes. And according to a review of the tabulator's log, more than 250,000 of the votes were misread in Maricopa County. That's right. Maricopa County, where the guys in charge of the election had a super PAC against Kerry Lake. And by the way, we didn't have that type of an issue anywhere else in the state, to my knowledge. 250,000 votes. Think about that number. What a coincidence. Yet we don't think that there's grounds to redo this election. How many do they have to misread before there's grounds to redo the election? Or does the court suggest that the state passed this legislation just as a rule, just for fun? I mean, it was just an exercise in futility, because the law doesn't actually apply. I mean, we're not talking about a questionable margin. We're talking about a margin that is so much bigger than what's necessary for a victory or defeat that it's mind-blowing. So this is absurd beyond words. And the fact that we're even talking about this rather than Kerry Lake having a resounding victory is absolutely mind-blowing. That's not enough, right? There's more. I mean, there's the fact that not only did we have the super PAC by these pieces of garbage running the Maricopa County election that was, you know, ran against Kerry Lake, but you also have Katie Hobbs, her opponent, running this election on the state side, which is an egregious abuse of power. I mean, this is mind-blowing. Literally nothing about this election was even close to honest. What the hell is going on here? Yet this court can't seem to find enough to suggest that we should have the election redone according to the law. 250,000 oversaw by the person who is, yeah. Don't worry though. That 250,000, that didn't count. Just ask Katie Hobbs who wins, because it doesn't count. I mean, really? If Kerry Lake's case doesn't end up a victory in one of the appeals courts, then that has the effect of saying that there will never be a lawsuit that you can file in Arizona on elections that will ever do anything, no matter how egregious the cheating is. And at that point, my recommendation to anyone in Arizona on the Republican side is just get to it, start cheating, because it doesn't matter how bad you cheat. There's no election law in Arizona, right? I mean, that seems to be what the courts are saying here. It is unbelievable what is occurring in this. I mean, we're talking about disenfranchisement of voters on a scale just second to none. It has a huge impact. You look at the signature matching issues. You look at ballots that were illegally counted because they were just dumped in there. You know, I mean, there are no chain of custody. You know, all of these add up. I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of votes that were either disenfranchised, not counted, or I mean, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. And the courts are going to suggest that they should maintain some modicum of credibility in light of their willful, just, I don't know, dismissal of the law. The law doesn't say, it does not say what the court said it said. It just doesn't. That court was wrong. That ruling was wrong. And, you know, we need to be supporting Carrie Lake. I hope people are still supporting her. I hope you're still backing her. You know, I hope you're still helping her in this fight. We need to keep this trending in the media. We need to keep this pushing. You know, you can't give up. That's one of those rules for radicals, by the way. You got to keep the fight going. You got to keep it going hard. You got to keep fighting stronger. You got to keep pushing, supporting. We're pushing. I think we're going to see if I can do some more videos and some more things on Twitter and Facebook, or not Facebook. They censor everything, but Twitter and Truth Social. See if we can't put out some more stuff on this, try and help people to get excited and remind them that this is going on, because we've got to stand here or we will never be able to get another election out of Arizona. I mean, if they can steal it at this level, then there is no such thing as a fair election in Arizona, and we're really just wasting our time. This was intentional. It was willful. It was fraudulent. And I really don't even see an argument to suggest otherwise. Got kids? I got kids. My kids come home from school. They cough. They hack. They bring home their germs. It's cold and flu season. So my kids like to share their germs, but it doesn't work in our household because we fire up the Genesis HOCL. And Genesis HOCL, it wipes out these germs, right? It just eliminates them. They're great. So this is a great product. It's an atomizer. It puts out this solution that kills germs in the air. I like it because it stops germs from spreading. If you use the Out Loud code at checkout, you can get yourself one of these at a huge discount, and you can support the America Out Loud Network. I want to urge you to support this network. We got some great shows coming. We got a new show on national security getting ready to launch. We've got, Malcolm is really expanding the lineup. And what's amazing is he still lets me do a show. He's got all this talent coming in, and then he still lets me talk. It's great. We need your help supporting the network, though. We need you to push this out. We need you to share these shows. If you like what we're doing, you got to help support it, right? I want to grow this network huge. I want to make it go because this is how we get the word out to people. We teach them how to fight. It only happens if this network's growing. So please help us share the America Out Loud Network. Let people know about our shows. And keep coming back for more. We'll talk to you soon.